Our scripture this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
So let us read, let us share in scripture. Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21, and this is coming from the NRS view. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the holiness of his anointed and divine word. Just for a few minutes, I want to share with you this particular theme: blessings, conflict, and confrontation. The Hebrew word for covenant is bereth. The Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms defines bereth as a formal agreement or treaty between two parties that establishes a relationship in which obligations and mutual responsibilities may be enacted. Many biblical covenants are found, some providing only divine promises and others entail obligations. I believe that we, the people of God, are willing participants in any form or agreement or treaty in communion with God. Though only God, through Jesus Christ, has the power to call for the formation of any and all covenants. Subsequently, I argue that the Almighty God simply doesn't call for a new covenant just because he has the power to do so. No, the God I know does not have shallow moments of that sort. Generally, God calls for or establishes a new covenant because as the people of God, we were involved in some level of divine enlightenment or some sort of conflict or confrontation, that which required God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness to see us through. I'm reminded of a time the writer of Jeremiah in chapter 31, verses 31 through 34 testified of God's disappointment with the house of Israel and the house of Judah with respect to the covenant God established with them when God took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt land. God's testimony so implied that the house of Israel and the house of Judah failed to keep their vows and of their covenant. And in doing so, they violated the heart of God. Yet God was able to move beyond his despair and his grief, even though the house of Israel and Judah found themselves in conflict with God's grace. God exercised restraint and mercy and forgave the people of God. God was heartbroken as he confronted his people through the prophet Jeremiah. But God's criticism was constructive, as he held on to hope and testified of the establishment of a new covenant, a covenant written on the people's hearts, where they would know God as God knew them. A covenant where God would wipe their sins from his memory. Now at this moment right here, we find that we're in the midst of reflection and discernment with the writings of another one of God's prophets. The situation seemed rather intriguing. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, verses 1 through 5, seemed to be extending an invitation to the people of God. It's not clear if the people of God were just emerging from a long, dusty desert journey, or if they were lacking financial resources, or if they harbored material possessions to trade for other goods and services. The writer simply does not offer any of that information. But the prophet Isaiah made it very clear that whatever was unfolding at that moment, the people of God need not worry about being thirsty. They need not worry where their next meal would come from. They need not worry about their material possessions or even their financial situation. God had taken steps to meet all their needs. Isaiah certainly arrived with great news and many blessings, perhaps something the people of God really needed to hear. But even more important, through Isaiah, God was able to accomplish two objectives with the people of God. The first objective was meeting their basic needs. The second objective was securing their attention with the ability to teach them steps toward a better life. And notice in verse 2, Isaiah asked them a reflective question, a question that required discernment. Isaiah asked the people of God, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, or your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why do you do that?" Here the prophet seems to indicate that the people of God were caught up in some sort of financial struggle or further experienced challenges with employment. Just to offer some level of context here, both God and Isaiah were aware that monarch kings often celebrated their inauguration or establishment of their reign by setting a great table, a royal banquet for their people. God, through the prophet Isaiah, used the same metaphor in offering their free banquet. The difference here was God provided much more than the monarchy. God set his table with physical as well as spiritual food. God promised his people good, rich food and everlasting security through an everlasting covenant. Through Isaiah, God reminded the people of God of his steadfast, true love for King David, that David was his witness to the people of God. Thus, I argue, if they required an example from the monarchy, then King David was that true witness. David showed that he was a leader and commander for the people. It was within that context that God offered the people of God what a mortal king could never offer, which is everlasting covenant, which is an everlasting covenant that speaks of salvation. God then blessed the people of God with a level of authority that every king dreams of attaining. He said in verse 5, he testified, "You shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, because of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." As we travel toward our primary text for this morning, I paraphrase the words of the prophet Isaiah, saying these words: "All those who thirst, all those that hunger, you are blessed and welcome at the table of the Most High God." As we arrive at our primary text this morning, Matthew 14, 13 through 21, we find that a terrible situation had taken shape. The writer cried out in Matthew 14, 12, that the disciples of John the Baptist had just claimed his body and buried him. Those disciples then told Jesus that John's head had been cut off by order of the ruler Herod. When Jesus received the news, he withdrew from the crowds in a boat to some remote area to be alone. He had just been impacted by the horrible news of John the Baptist's death. Jesus needed some me time. He needed to mourn the loss of his kinfolk and his fellow servant. But the crowds would have none of that. They continued to follow Jesus via land as he isolated himself via boat. That was in contrast to the situation in Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5. The other folk were invited by the prophet. Jesus issued no such invitation. Nevertheless, Jesus commanded the attention of the crowd. They were not leaving his sight. I imagine the people were thinking, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I imagine they were thinking, if I could just command the attention of the crowd. I imagine they were thinking, if I could just ask Jesus a couple of questions. I imagine they were saying, if I could just lay my ailing kinfolk at his feet. I imagine they were saying, if I could just get a closer walk with Jesus. I imagine Jesus was conflicted with this developing situation. He needed to mourn and process what had occurred with John the Baptist. But the crowds followed him everywhere. Jesus decided to return to land. The first thing Jesus did was heal their sick. We can be sure Jesus spent some time with the crowd. The writer tells us that it was around evening time when the disciples approached Jesus. I imagine the disciples were a bit weary when they confronted Jesus and advised him the hour is late. This place is deserted. Send these folks on their way so they can go into the villages and buy food. And it was here at this moment that I believe the confrontation got a bit dicey. Jesus told the disciples, the crowd need not go away. You feed them. I could almost see the disciples looking at each other in bewilderment. in a bewildered sort of way before they cried out to Jesus, we have nothing to feed these folks except these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus told the disciples, bring what you have here to me. Jesus then issued a directive to the crowds. Sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed. He broke the loaves of bread and handed them to the disciples, and the disciples gave the food to the crowds. As I prepare to close, the writer testified that all that made up the crowds ate and were filled. And when all had ate their fill, they had 12 full baskets left over. The disciples fed 5,000 men plus women and children. I believe those crowds that not only witnessed but experienced the blessings and healing of the Lord. I believe the crowd that witnessed that and experienced that, I believe they made up the body of Christ. You see, it is my hope and prayer that when we become aware that it is God who heals us and feeds us, we will approach the table of the Lord with faith and glad tidings as we make up the body of Christ. It is my hope that we remember that it was God in Exodus chapter 16, verse 15, who sent rain in the form of manna from heaven to feed his people as they marched through the desert, crying of hunger. It is my hope that we remember that it was God in Exodus 17, verse 6, who sent Moses in the company of the elders to get water from a rock when the people of God complained of thirst. It is my hope that we remember that it was God who summoned the prophet Isaiah to invite the people of God to join him in making an everlasting covenant. You see, It is my hope that we remember it was God who moved Jesus, his firstborn child, from grief to compassion as he healed great crowds and fed over 5,000 people on the strength of a blessing. Blessed is the table of God and the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you.